In the last 2 weeks, even more schools around the country have gotten hoax calls claiming that active shooters were on their campuses. It's a continuation of a pattern that NPR has reported on, and now NPR has obtained new information that suggests this is not the first time that a scare campaign like this was conducted against U.S. schools. NPR's Odette Youssef and Jenna McLaughlin join us now. Odette, let's start with you. Remind us what's been going on.
Well, someone has been calling schools and law enforcement agencies claiming that there's an active shooter at a school. And this has been prompting what's known as a swatting response, where police and SWAT teams immediately deploy in large numbers to those locations. And when they get there, they find out that the call was a hoax. But this can be pretty terrifying for all involved. So the last time we reported on this, just over 2 weeks ago, we had counted at least 113 instances of calls that fit a particular pattern since mid-September. Now that number has reached nearly 200 across at least 28 states.
All right, so tell us about the new information. There was something like this happening before?
Yes. Some local authorities have suggested that these calls echo a similar hoax from the spring. And now we've obtained information through an open records request suggesting they might be right. I want you to listen to some audio. Here's a clip from a hoax swatting call made about 4 weeks ago in Findlay, Ohio.
The police department, Feller.
Hello, there is an active shooter at Findlay High School. Hello. There is an active shooter at Findlay High School. 24 students got injured. Hello. Hello. Findlay High School.
Now, I want you to listen to another call that was made 5 months earlier to the sheriff's office in Bossier Parish, Louisiana.
Hello, suspicious backpack has been left in the high school. Hello, Binton High School, number 205. Hello, suspicious backpack has been left in the high school.
Now, lots of schools and states across the country received similar false bomb alerts in the spring. And as you could hear, it sounds like the same person who's behind the swatting calls. So we obtained additional records from the investigation that the Bossier Parish Sheriff's Office conducted back in April, and it's provided a really interesting snapshot of how this hoax caller operates.
Yeah, they sounded exactly alike. So tell us more. What has it shown?
Well, one piece of information that the sheriff's office obtained was a detailed call log of the phone number that had called in this false bomb alert. Captain Shannon Mack of the Bossier Parish Sheriff's Office was the one conducting the investigation.
You could see that he was using this phone number specifically to call schools or the dispatch to the sheriff's office or police department where the school was, and it looks like this was his thing to do all day, every day.
And our analysis found that this was indeed the case. On certain days, the caller started making calls at an hour that was morning time for the place they targeted, and they just keep dialing numbers, sometimes with as few as 4 seconds between hanging up and dialing the next one until they were finished with their day 6 to 8 hours later. Our analysis also found that in the roughly 6 weeks that these records covered, this caller targeted 162 places. More than 90% of those were schools, police or sheriff's departments, dispatch centers, and fire departments.
We're going to bring in Jenna McLaughlin. Jenna, let's start with that technology question. Now, how would this work?
Hi, A. So, yeah, this caller was using voice over IP, and that basically means he was making a call over the internet rather than the phone lines like Zoom or WhatsApp. He was using TextNow, which is a specific free, easy to sign up for service. You can get a new number. I made one using only my NPR email address, and it took me about 10 seconds, no verification needed. One really interesting thing, though, is that all of the IP addresses in the investigation log were actually tracing back to Ethiopia.
No, Ethiopia. So have investigators been able to confirm that?
So it's still a bit of a mystery. Experts and investigators that we spoke with said that based on the evidence, they don't think that it's likely that the perpetrator used digital disguises to make it look like they're in Ethiopia when they're not. Even so, they could be using a local virtual private network to hide their exact location, and it's still a possibility that they hacked into Ethiopian internet infrastructure or bought access. One source actually shared with us that they found some Ethiotelecom IPs, some local IP addresses that had been compromised and were being sold on the dark web. So they really could be anywhere.
Wow. Jenna, is there anything that can be done about this?
So regardless of where these people are, it's extremely difficult to hunt down and stop these perpetrators individually because law enforcement doesn't necessarily get cooperation in places like Ethiopia. Actually, some people think that solution should lie with the providers instead. Experts that track this kind of thing said that a lot of scams lead back to TextNow, and they want the company to do more, to monitor for fraudulent behavior, verify people's identity when they sign up, you know, maybe even get agencies like the FCC to step in and require them to do more. From TextNow's side, we can actually report that they banned the entire country of Ethiopia on Friday, and that was to try and cut down on a level of fraudulent activity there.
What about a new motive, actually? Any of the new information shed light on that?
So typically we see these scams as trying to make money, but that doesn't seem to be the case here.
And so far, you know, we've still seen no indication, A, that this ties to any extremist or political agenda. So this remains a mystery, and meanwhile, these swattings continue to happen.
NPR's Odette Youssef and Jenna McLaughlin, thanks you two.
Thanks.